A wonderful memory for the North of Ireland team, because the fact that they had qualified in qualifying for the finals, they had knocked the great Italian country out of the World Cup for the first and the only time that they have never reached the finals. So it was a wonderful time for the Northern Ireland team. It was a wonderful time for me. It came a short time after the accident. It came after playing and losing in the final at Wembley. It came after other things that happened around that time. And for me, I went out. They were worried about my top 4 inches. The country flying, Northern Ireland team flew out, so suggested I went out by rail and by ferry. And I tell you, it was a wonderful relief for me, because having a good time in the finals and going through to the quarter final, I decided for the first time I would fly after Munich. So in a way, it relieved all the pressure that had been in my head and in my body around that period of time.
Do you think that was important, that you kept playing football and a couple of your teammates who...
That was very, very, very important to me, very important. Yeah. I think the fact that I was able to get involved in the game almost immediately, 13 days after the accident, I think I would have gone insane sitting around home and sitting and moping. The best thing that could happen for me was to get down to Old Trafford, to the training ground, and kick lumps out of people and let people kick lumps out of me. In hindsight, it was a safety valve.
This year was a very special anniversary. I mean, and the club and the players and the current crop of players, they couldn't have marked it any better by winning the Champions League. But I read quotes from you in the run-up to that. You were very adamant in not putting pressure on them and not making it just about that in the run into that match against Chelsea in Russia.
That's what I felt about it. And sadly, I turned out to be correct, because prior to the ceremony, or the week after the ceremony, the weekend, they played Manchester City, and they had people out on the pitch laying down a wreath on behalf of what happened 50 years before. And sadly, the whole emotional thing backfired on today's players, which I thought was terribly, terribly unfair. I didn't go to that game. I had an invite, and I thought, no, they have their pressure for today, playing in a derby game. The club, as you say, the club did it very, very well. You know why they did it well? Everyone wants to talk about my teammates, about the team I played in. But there were a lot more people on board that aircraft. There was 9 great journalists, 8 of them were killed. There was a Yugoslav diplomat. There was a supporter called Willy Satinov, who paid his own, the only to go there, and he lost his life. Those people have got to be remembered as well. My teammates were wonderful friends, but in my head, I always think the journalists and the other people, their children must have said, each time there was a celebration of the Busby Babes, what about my dad? Those things are terribly important to me.
Do you find it hard to talk about, or do you think it actually honours those who have passed, be it the players or the people you mentioned, when you do?
I find it hard to talk about, because when the damn thing did happen, there were only 2 people there. One man that knew was going on, that was the pilot, the one that wasn't trapped, Jim Thane. I didn't know what the possibility of what was going to happen. To me, I felt for everybody involved aboard that aircraft. And I repeat, it is nice that my teammates be remembered. It's nice that the Busby Babes be remembered. They were a wonderful young group that broke the mould, that brought Matt Busby, brought youth on the side. I was from the outside, proud to be part of that, but there was also all the other people on board the aircraft that had families.
I'm glad you mentioned Sir Matt Busby. Many people compare him and Sir Alex Ferguson to each other. Do you think that's unfair, because they're both managing at very different times, or they both managed at very different times?
I think it's a compliment to what Matt Busby created in the first place, i.e. the coming on the scene of youth and bringing youth into it. I think it's unfair to compare the two of them. The game has changed dramatically from my time and Matt Busby, or Sir Matt Busby's time. At the same time, Alec Ferguson has done, in my lifetime, and I'm not being critical, Manchester United only had 2 managers, Matt Busby and Alec Ferguson. Those that came in between, no.
It is a huge club, but I suppose maybe it strikes people as odd sometimes that they've had 2 periods of success, and outside of that they've struggled. I mean, when Sir Matt was in charge, and obviously since Alex Ferguson came in 1986, and even he struggled for a while. What do you think it is about United?
It was a shadow of Matt Busby. It was a shadow of the Busby Babes to a certain extent in relation to those between Sir Matt and Alec Ferguson. there are things I really don't want to go into too deeply. Being the Edwards family who come on the scene. Louis Edwards, who arrived after the crash, had nothing to do with Manchester United Football Club when I arrived at that club. I had never met him. And then his son Martin took over when Louis Edwards died, when everyone thought that Busby should have taken over as chairman, which I personally thought myself, but who am I? And in that period of time, there was a lot of things happened at that club that I personally did not agree with, that club did not deserve. That club deserved better things. And people appeared on the scene. Of all the ones that were in between, there was only one that I thought deserved to be there, but he couldn't carry the burden of what had happened before, if you understand what I'm trying to say, and that was Dave Sexton. Dave Sexton was a nice man. I thought he could have been right for the club, but unfortunately, to be great, you've got to be able to live with greatness. That's my opinion. And Dave's shortcoming was he couldn't live with what had happened before, the Busby Babes. He was the one between Matt and Alec that I felt for.
What do you make of the club when you look at it now? I mean, what's going on, we'll say, with Malcolm Glazier? There seems to be a certain amount of resilience towards him from the fans and certain elements of the club itself.
Well, the club in my time, I never played at Old Trafford, even in my time, when it wasn't a full house. They went down the drain, they went down into the second division, which people forget about. I was the one that coined the phrase that Manchester United, when the crash happened, became an institution, not a football club. And I said that around the time that the Munich air disaster turned a wonderful football club into a world institution, and I think that has been proved over the years. They're all across the world, no matter where you go. I have travelled a little bit in my time, even Middle East many years ago, and someone has said to me in the lift, going up in the lift in the Middle East, Manchester United. And this was in the Arab world many years ago. They're an institution, a world institution.
And an institution in which Irishmen from both sides of the borders have always been very special to.
Almost definitely. Before my time, before Jackie Blindflower's time, before a lot of the players, before Johnny Giles, before poor Liam Whelan, before all those people, there was Tommy Breen, people long before your time, you wouldn't remember, that kept gold from Manchester United. There were all the players from Dublin that went there. There was that great affiliation with Ireland, and I say Ireland, not North, not South. Great affiliation with Ireland. And the support they get from here is unbelievable.
Would you still follow the club day in, day out? Would you still go to a lot of games?
I don't go to games. I have season tickets, which I buy, which I pay for. I don't go because I've had my day. I had my day twice at Old Trafford. I was there as a player. 17 years after I left, I was invited back as a coach, which I did do, and I loved it. Then a gentleman called Ron Atkinson turned up on the scene, and him and I had bad trouble beforehand, and there was no way I was going to exist, so I missed coming away the second time. The first time my time was up as a player. The second time I was hurt when I left because I felt let down. They had asked me to come back and do the coaching. I was enjoying it. They get a new manager, and it wasn't only a matter of he's bringing his own people. We had problems prior to that. Great club. Wonderful club.
Do you pay special attention, we'll say, to the goalkeepers they've had in the last couple of years, given that was your position?
I do. I pay attention to any goalkeeper playing, not just at Old Trafford. But to talk about goalkeepers today compared to going back 30 years ago in my time, I occasionally would go and sit down with people and do a chat. And what I say is the game has changed so much, and I can't blame the players. I watch goalkeepers now dribbling the ball out, taking the ball out 10 yards from the 18-yard line. And I say in my day, the flowers on my grave would have withered because I'd have been dead and buried. The game has changed dramatically. It's almost become a non-contact sport. That's what I feel about football.
I mean, when you see some of the decisions given now that go in favour of goalkeepers, do you think, God, when I was playing, guys would pile in on top of me like a rook in rugby or something?
Of course you would do. Well, I think the best way to put it is a great man who made me what I was, Peter Doherty, Peter the Great. He always said anyone can play and do tricks in an empty room. That is very true. When you think about Nobby Stiles today playing would be banned for life. David Mackay, who played for Spurs, would have been banned for life. Nat Lofthouse would have got the death penalty for what he did to me, and I'd have got the death penalty for some of the things. But those days are gone, and it's not for the benefit of football. That's my opinion.
Do you think there's a middle ground that could be found that, you know, look, keep it a contact sport, but maybe some of the stuff that was there previously was a bit over the top?
No, I don't think it was over the top. I do not think it was over the top. I think it was a manly game where you competed against another human being. May the best man win. I had no time for filth and dirt and bad play. That's it. But physical contact, anyone can play any game in an empty room. Anybody can do tricks in an empty room. I want to see a fellow doing his tricks when somebody's up his backside. That's different. I hope it doesn't... I think the proof of it is, you look, do you know how many foreign goalkeepers are in the English Premier League today? There are 18 in all. Does that speak for itself? And that's my honest opinion. I remember doing a piece in 1993, and it was called Not Harry's Game, stating the same facts, that the country that gave football to the world is now the pupil. We are now importing people. We talk about my day, which is the only thing I can talk about apart from the coaching side. In my day, we loved playing foreign sides, especially foreign goalkeepers, because they never caught the ball. They were challenged under the bar. But that's come to us now in this country, and it's not for the betterment of the game, in my opinion.
Just before I let you go, what players do you like watching now? What players do you rate?
I like the boy at Old Trafford, Ronaldo. I'd love to watch him. I think he's brilliant. I know he's got a little bit of these things attached to him yet from the foreign game. I think he's unbelievable. Scholesy for me. I love the boy, Rooney, today. Yeah. They're throwbacks to the old days.
I was just about to say, Rooney, he's a striker, but he's very hard. Oh, I mean, that's something you must admire.
He takes me back to before my time even. Dixie Dean, he even looks like Dixie Dean. Apart from great ability, built like a brick shit house, for want of a better expression. We'll go through you as quick as we go past you. That used to be part of the game. You don't see Rooney. No, I shouldn't. You don't see him lying down and dying when somebody gives him a whack. He's up and he's after him. But I watch these other fellas, honest to God, lying down and dying. Ah.
If Alex Ferguson does step down in the next couple of seasons, is there any outstanding candidate to take over at Old Trafford? People have talked about Jose Mourinho.
Oh, wait a minute or two. I didn't talk about him. I think he was great. He was an entertainer as a manager and a coach. But it's about players on the field. Football is about players on the field. I like the guy, funny enough, for a foreigner, this is Chelsea, because he doesn't talk too much. He lets the players talk. And to me, that's very important. No matter how much you chops, if the players can't do the job and you can't handle those players, and when I mean handle, treat them like men, you're a con man. You talk about Mark Hughes, possibility. You talk about a man that... I've never met him, by the way, so I'm not patronising. Roy Keane. Yeah. Tell you what, he was my type of player. I don't know what he's like as a manager, but he was my type of player. He didn't take prisoners. He didn't go looking for it. But if you ask for it... I heard Gilesy speaking, Johnny Giles, recently in RTE, and I thought, great, Gilesy. He said... Managers are saying, where our players are not getting protection. He said, we protected ourselves. Very, very true. That's how much the game has changed. I was lucky I met great people. Even the Dunphy fella. Unbelievable. I hear people having a go at Dunphy. Now, do you know why I admire Dunphy? 16 years of age, and we're playing up the back, and he's a kid, and I give him a whack. I challenged him. And he turned and he said to me, you're going to what? I'm going to see a solicitor about you. So I hit him a cuff around the ear hole. But you know what I admired about Dunphy? Even at 16 years of age, Eamon Dunphy, a 16-year-old child, had the same opinions and was strong enough willed to speak his piece in the dressing room. So Dunph hasn't changed, and it's not an invention over the years. I remember as a kid talking at a youth team game, and a lad called Alan Duff, who was a friend of his, said to old Johnny Aston, these were kids, Asto, can I hit him? And old John didn't think, he meant it. He said, it's okay. And Alan Duff walked across the room and named Dolph for talking too much. But you've got to admire a person when you know the background. he was the same as a young boy that was never afraid to have an opinion.
And he'd tell you himself he wasn't a technically gifted player, but he strikes me as the kind of guy who gave absolutely everything.
Tell you what he could do, he could run all day. Dunf could run all day. He thinks that somebody else was instrumental in getting him a move. I was the one that got him a move without him knowing to York City. And he went from York City to Millwall. I have nothing but, and him and I have fallen out, by the way, and fallen out badly. I have nothing but respect for him and Dunphy, because if he has an opinion, not always right, none of us are, he will state it. And I have time for people like that.